Hi, this is David from Pennsylvania. I just wanted to give a call and share a quick success story. I had a call with a client and the closing team at GMG this morning. My client owned several apartment buildings, and he had actually been familiar with cost segregation, had done cost segregation studies before on other properties that he had developed and purchased. And I mentioned to him that he might want to take a look at what we had to offer. And we got on the call, went through everything, and it came to the issue of price and what the fee would be charged. And it couldn't have gone any better, because the last firm that he had used charged him probably about 40% more than what we were offering here with GMG. And you know, at that point in the call, it more or less ended up that that it was a done deal. He had come in with much higher expectations than what in terms of the fee that he was going to be paying, and was really happy with the benefit. We ended up finding about $300,000 in potential benefit for him on his three properties. So it was the call was a big success, and couldn't be happier with the outcome at this point. So just wanted to share that with everybody and say thanks to Bill and Jeremy for a job well done. Thanks.
I want to welcome everyone to this week's episode of Salescast. If you want to share your story, simply open the app, click on Contacts, and click Share a Story. This week, we're dedicating the entire episode to talking about CPAs. We're going to talk about the three types of CPA firms that exist. We're going to talk about the dynamic between CPA firms and their clients. We're going to talk about what motivates a CPA firm. And most importantly, we're going to talk about how to get in front of more CPA firms. So all this was inspired by a listener question, so let's go there now.
Hi, this is Munir from California. I read Ted's article on is your CPA really a tax attorney? And that article I forwarded to a client of mine who was advised by his CPA not to proceed with cost segregation. But my client was impressed with the article, and he is planning to pursue the cost segregation at a later date. Now, my question is that the CPA really does make such a big difference. So how would one go around increasing the networking with CPAs and to get a good client-based from connections through CPAs? Is there any associations which one should look into, or you know, I don't know if that question can be answered in a short duration, but I just wanted to get more information on networking with CPAs. Look forward to an answer soon. Thank you.
What a great question, and such a great question, I think, that we've decided to dedicate just about this entire episode to it. So, you know, Jeremy, let's break this down and talk about this really in two parts. You know, first I'll have you talk about just kind of the anatomy of a CPA firm, the dynamic that exists between them and their client. You know, help us get inside the mind of a CPA. And once we understand that, I think we'll be able to more properly talk about then how to get in front of more. So, Jeremy, help us understand. You've spent a lot of time with CPAs over the years.
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit, actually.
And so you probably have some great insight as to how they think, what motivates them. Really, let's spend quite a bit of time just talking about CPAs.
Yeah, you know, we could spend hours and hours talking about the psyche and personality of CPAs and still not even scratch the surface. But for purpose of this sales cast, we're really going to focus on cost segregation and the interaction and the dynamic between the CPA and their client, and just CPAs in general. To start off, there's really multiple types of CPAs, so I kind of want to help identify, and that's what we asked, identify what type of CPA you're dealing with. And I've kind of broken it into three main types of CPAs. One is your local mom-and-pop type CPA. This is somebody that may or may not have any knowledge about cost seg. They might have gone to a seminar, but likely they have not done a cost seg study, and if so, maybe one, maybe two, if that. Very limited knowledge, and because of that, as we know, CPAs are skeptical by nature. If they're not experienced in it, then they could be a stumbling block to you. Second type of CPA would be the smaller regional CPA. They might have a little bit more of a pull than the mom and pop. And these generally know about CostSeg, but again, they don't necessarily have a wide knowledge on the subject. They probably have a working knowledge, but not really an in-depth knowledge. And because of that, you might get one CPA that's very negative about it and one that's very positive about it, mostly based on classes they've attended, not probably a whole lot of real-world experience. And then the third one would be the larger regional firm. Generally, those are the ones that have knowledge of CostSeg, have used CostSeg firms in the past, and when you're talking to them, it's going to be a completely different dynamic. So really identify which type of CPA you're dealing with.
Now, Jeremy, once we've identified them, let's take each of these three and talk about what to do, because obviously this is the first thing you do. You get a signed agreement in. There's been an introduction call. You're reaching out to that CPA, and immediately you can identify. This doesn't take a lot of work. There's no blurred lines here. We know which three. So let's start with that first one. You got the small Monpa CPA firm. Now, I would say of the three, clients tend to have the most loyalty and the most trust in the small Monpa CPA firm.
Yeah, and you'd be surprised. A lot of larger clients still have that CPA because of that loyalty factor. They've stuck with them from the beginning of the inception of their company, and they just have not wanted to move on. So there's still clients can still be very loyal to that CPA, which makes it that much more difficult if the CPA is negative for us to penetrate that. But there are ways to do it, and I think the number one way is to set up an introduction call and let us speak with them, because we've worked with so many CPAs that we can kind of craft our verbiage based upon that type of CPA. We really know how to deal with the different types because we've dealt with so many of them. And exactly, Ryan said it right. How you're going to deal with the local mom and pop type CPA versus a large regional firm, completely different set of rules, basically.
Yeah. So Jeremy, let's talk about that second type. If you make that call and we're talking to the CPA, excuse me, and we realize, okay, this is a regional firm, which again, they generally have some knowledge of what cost segregation is. They're not necessarily actively doing it. In fact, most cases they're not. What's the approach with that type of CPA firm?
I generally ask them what their experience is in CostSeg, and I talk about their direct experience, not their firm's experience, because if this size, they might have multiple partners, they might even have a couple of satellite offices, and you might be talking to a CPA that doesn't have any knowledge, or you might talk to a CPA that handles all of the cost segregation studies for that particular office. So I just ask, you know, what's your working knowledge, what's your experience with CostSeg, and I just assume that they've heard of it, that they know what it is, and then go from there based upon their response. And if they say, hey, we've done three or four studies, didn't have a lot of success, I'm just going to start moving in. Hey, who did you work with? You know, why do you say it wasn't successful? What did they promise? What did they deliver? And things, basically a lot of questions to really identify what their stumbling block is, because we've dealt with, and this is kind of leading into a story, we had a basically one of these number twos, a regional CPA firm down in Texas that had gone through a CostSeg study with a different firm, didn't work out too well. Then when we came in to sell them on a different client, one obviously a new client for us, the CPA was very negative and basically told me, you know, we've been burned in the past and I'm a little gun shy. And I said, you know, just give me an opportunity. I don't know exactly what went wrong with them, but give me one opportunity to just work on one project. And it went extremely well. And now this is 6 years later and we're still doing studies for this firm, all because they gave us a chance and because I tailored my speaking to them on, hey, just give us a chance. I know you've been burned. Give us a chance. That's going to be a completely different discussion than if you're talking to a local CPA that doesn't have any knowledge of it.
You know, let me talk for a minute, Jeremy, about why, because we see this a lot, is that maybe a company's been burned by a relationship in the past. And it's not necessarily burned for the reason that you think. And this is where I love to open this door and ask that, you know, what happened? What has you gun shy about this? What it really comes down to is that, you know, CPAs are typically cautious in nature. And Jeremy, I know you'll probably speak to that a little more in a few minutes. But, you know, obviously they don't want to look bad in front of their client. And that's really the comfort level they're looking for from us, is that we're not going to make them look bad in front of their client.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. They can take a defensive posture very quickly. And generally, before they even get on the phone with us, they have that defensive posture. And that's why what we try to do is reach out behind the scenes to the CPA, with client permission, of course, prior to the introduction or kickoff call, and just say, hey, we have a mutual client. I just want you to know we're working on this. I'd love to work with you. I'm not trying to take your client. I'm not a CPA. All I do is specialize in this. I'd love to build a relationship with you and help your client. So by the time the call happens, now it's a lot lighter of a call, and I don't think there's going to be that confrontational dynamic.
Well, and this is really, of all things, where we are different from other firms. I mean, we've spoken previously about how our report is different, how our approach is different, but really how the makeup of our team is, I think, one of the biggest things that makes us different from our competitors. And that maybe part of that negative experience is that they're just putting a direct, cost segregation engineer in the ear of their client that's maybe a little more on the negative side, maybe also a little more on the cautious side, maybe said some things they shouldn't have in front of maybe they lack some bedside manner, so to speak.
Yeah, which is common among this industry. We've worked with many engineers, both in-house and contractors, and just in being around the industry. And we can understand why a lot of CPAs and clients have had negative experiences.
Yeah, and that's, again, where we're different, is that, you know, how many cost segregation firms have, feet on the street like we do? How many have someone that can go out to the client and look them eyeball to eyeball and build that business relationship? And I'll go even further. Once you get to the national level, how many cost segregation firms have national account managers and project managers and specialists in place? And we really put the emphasis on the consulting side of things so that they can feel comfortable about that relationship.
Exactly. And the third would be the large CPA firm. And you're going to talk to them completely different. When I talk to a large CPA firm, it's not, have you heard of CostSeg? It's, I'm assuming you're doing CostSeg. Who are you partnered with? Are you taking bids? Are you looking for another opportunity? I'd love to get a project or two with you and see if you can compare and contrast versus who you're currently using. So, that person, that larger regional CPA firm, and as this question is talking about, how do we get in front of CPAs? Well, really, what type of CPA you're going to try to get in front of, because that's going to determine what you're going to say to get to them. Large CPAs, you basically go in saying, hey, this is CostSeg. This is one of the things I offer. It's CostSeg, and just go, as I mentioned, your regional CPA. It's, I'm assuming, Mr. Client, that you've heard of this. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience and let them talk? On the local side, the real small side, it's, are you familiar with this term called cost segregation? And if not, I'd like to educate you a little bit so you feel comfortable with it. And I'd also like to do a project that where you can see it kind of firsthand and gain that experience. So the first thing, and I know we can go through multiple, like I said, we can go all around the world and talking about the different dynamics here. But the key is knowing what type of CPA you are speaking with. And if you don't know ahead of time, go on the internet, look up their website. It's not going to take very long to find out how large of a CPA firm this is.
Now, Jeremy, if you're out there partnering with CPA firms, and we've partnered with a lot of firms over the years, of these three types, where are you going to find the strongest partnership exist?
Well, probably the first one. The local would be once you get them, they are loyal, but the issue on the local mom and pop is they might not have the amount of clients.
Yeah. Well, you get their three clients.
You get their three clients, and that's it. So you really, that number two group, that regional, that's a smaller side that, they don't have 100 offices across the country, but they might have a couple of offices locally, might have a satellite branch in another county. four or five partners on their internal branch. That's what I've seen as our most loyal, because they have enough clients to continually send us business, and the loyalty comes from continuing to have us work on projects and knock it out of the park for them.
Now, when you're talking about partnerships, normally, I mean, you're talking about motivation, you know, is really what it comes down to. And obviously, if we're partnering with a commercial builder, the motivations are simple. We may be cutting them into the revenue stream. We may be helping them win more bids because we're able to, you know, bring some upfront capital to the, you know, to the table. There's a lot of things that would motivate. But CPAs, I mean, this is a whole different, you know, animal. Let's talk about really what have you found that motivates a CPA? I just asked you a lose-lose question.
Yeah, protection of their client, number one. CPAs, even if you give them a nice little referral fee or if we're white labeling, they're not making the majority of their money from CostSeg. They're making their money from billable hours for their clients. So if you lose a client, you're losing a lot of money for them. And the number one thing they want is billable hours and clients. That's very difficult for CPAs to acquire clients because of basically their personality. They're not sales and marketing people. So CPAs either have this book of business that's been in the firm for a long period of time, or they get some word of mouth stuff, and once they have somebody, they don't want to lose them. And that's part of the reason they're so protective, is they might see us as a threat to that client. So although we might think, hey, this CPA is going to be really motivated by a few thousand dollars on this study, no, they're making much more than that on that client. They're motivated by adding value, but number one, protecting that client. And one way to spin it that I've used is, hey, you care about protecting your client. You want to keep them. The acquisition cost to even get a client I know is high. If you're not providing these services, I can guarantee you another CPA firm is, and they might be stealing your client. So it's important for you to be offering everything that you can to provide the value that will retain your clients.
You know, Jeremy, I think a lot of times, you know, team members think about this the wrong way, though, that they think, what things can I do to motivate the CPA firm to say yes? And I've had a saying that I've said to your team for years, and that is, you don't need the CPA to say yes, you just
need them not to say no.
And that's the real motivating factor. I'm glad you have that memorized, because I've said it enough times. And that is that I think, you know, you're asking the wrong question if that's your question. When you say, what can I do? Wow, what if we do some really nice custom report for them? That doesn't motivate them. What if we cut them in on you know, do some profit sharing, make a profit center for them? Typically doesn't motivate them. You know, what if we go in and we just show them our audit defense certificate? They don't care. You know, it doesn't, I mean, as a whole, you're barking up the wrong tree. And at the end of the day, of all the things we've tried, I would say the thing that has been absolutely most successful is just focusing on getting the CPA not to say no. And the way that we do that when we're reaching out to a CPA firm is, this is where I'll tie back to the process a little bit, why we want to engage the client up front. And I'll tell you what, you know, what we say to a CPA, you know, and we do this all the time. When we reach out to a CPA, we can very easily at that point say, I'm calling because we have a mutual client. It totally changes the playing field. That, you know, as opposed to I'm calling about one of your clients.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. I do a lot of these calls where we have a kickoff call scheduled, and my job is to reach out to the CPA, and that's exactly right. I call and say, hey, this is Jeremy. We have a mutual client in Mr. Johnson at the Hotel ABC, and he's engaged us to do a cost seg. And, you know, what I want to do is make sure that that this is not going to be some type of bad fit for this client. He's very gung-ho about it. I want to make sure that there's nothing that I'm missing here before we proceed with this study. And the CPAs just really appreciate that we're reaching. It's basically, I'm doing a courtesy to you, Mr. CPA. I don't want your client to be in a bad product, a bad situation. Oh, by the way, I want to build a great relationship with you, and maybe you have some other clients as well. And then I'm really looking to build that long-term relationship with that CPA. And that really comes full circle to the question that was asked. How do I get in front of CPAs? I really believe, and Ryan might say something similar or different, but the way to get to CPAs is by going to a client.
Absolutely.
You go to the client, and the client gets you into the door by letting you know who their CPA is, and now we can go warm to a CPA instead of cold and say, we have a mutual client in this gentleman or ma'am, and now we'd like to work with you.
You know, this gets so confusing because I know people will say, you know, well, how do I really get more clients? And the answer is you have to have the CPA's blessing. And you just have to. And then you go the opposite side and say, well, how do I get the CPA's blessing? You do work for their clients. And it really does start at that. One story that comes to mind, Jeremy, is Cindy, if you're listening, Cindy from Texas. You know, years and years ago, Cindy walked into a CPA firm and talked to the CPA, you know, went in and really shared with them what we could do. And there was really kind of no response from the CPA firm. They weren't interested, wasn't something they were doing. And actually, through a cold appointment from the call center, we happened to get a client for that CPA. And, you know, then when she was able to re-enter, you know, alongside with Jeremy, and I think, Jeremy, you were actually the one that worked with that CPA firm back then. But when you were able to reapproach that client, now you're coming and you're using kind of that angle.
Yeah.
And three things you talked about when you did that. One, you're talking about a mutual client because that client's already engaged us. Second, you're using all past tense terms. And this is something I say over and over again to my internal staff here. Use past tense terms. We have a mutual client. Your client has engaged us. Our client has engaged us. Past tense.
We're working on a project, not we might work on or we're hoping to work on.
Yeah.
We are in the middle. We are working on a project for your client. It's already in process. It's not like we're trying to hopefully maybe get somebody's blessing to do something.
And the third part you embraced was what the relationship there is, that you're there to protect the CPA and to protect the client. And as we mentioned earlier, that's a major motivation factor. So through this simple call, and this is why we have the process that we do, through this simple call, we've embraced three very important things. We have a mutual client. We're already in the middle of the project. We're not asking you to say yes or no, but we're here to protect you, and we're here to protect your client. Make sure that we all operate in the best interest there. And I can tell you, I've never seen any of our team members, Jeremy, push a cost seg on someone that it wasn't a good fit.
No. Nope. If anything, we'll do the opposite and let a CPA know. I do this frequently. I've looked at this already, Mr. CPA. I don't think this is a good fit from what I'm seeing. Is this what you're seeing as well? And, man, the response that I get from a CPA when I'm walking away from a project, they're blown away.
That it shows the level of integrity that we operate in. And, you know, I tell people it is too small of a country not to operate that way. It will come back to bite you. And that's why when we're working with CPAs, one of the next components, if they have experience in cost seg, Jeremy, is you talk about price with the CPA. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I try to definitely get a gauge on price because pricing is a little bit of an art more than a science. And the more information, the better. But I need to sometimes identify where this client is coming from, what their budget could be, what the experience is. All of that helps in pricing. And again, identify if I'm against some competition here and I need to come in lower. And if I am in competition, I do my best to try to find out what the other bid is. All of that is through that building of the relationship with the CPA. But what I really wanted to say as Ryan was talking is like there are a lot of individual cost seg firms out there. They're just little standalone cost seg firms. Their job is to try to sell a cost seg. And we are not that type of company. We are a relationship consultant. We're trying to help our clients. Cost segregation is generally a great way to do so. But the difference that you can have the confidence in is we're not going to try to push a product down somebody's throat. And there are a lot of times there's a bad taste in CPAs and some clients' mouths because there might have been a cost seg firm that just came and dropped off a flyer and tried to talk them into a cost seg without even really caring about their business, without even trying to learn anything about their business. And that's the difference with us is that we're not trying to just push a product.
You know, I was just speaking the other day with an advisor in Florida, and he's got one of those second type of CPA firms, a regional, and they're kind of the major player in their area. We know that game. We have that up here where we're at as well. And he was asking me this very question of, you know, how do I get in front of them? How do I? And my answer is very much what Cindy did. See, and you might be confused by that, because I said she went out there and met the CPAs in her area, and then they, you know, they kind of politely kicked her out the door. She didn't get anything out of it. But then, you know, and so you might say, well, that was kind of a waste of time. And what I recommended to him, he's newer in his market, is I said, go out there and meet the major players in your area. Talk to them. Explain what you do. Explain the value proposition. Go through and talk about these, you know, what we can do in a partnership. Share articles with them. Build credibility. You know, do what Muneer did, who shared at the beginning of this call, where he sent an article over explaining. There's a great article on our website called CPA Alliance under the blog section, and you should be sharing this. And here's where the hook is. And don't expect anything out of it. I wouldn't say, Jeremy, you and I have cold walked in to more CPAs than we probably care to admit. And how many times do we literally walk out of that first meeting with a handshake and, yes, how can we partner together? I've been waiting for you to walk in here.
I would have to say it's never happened. And even a little bit of where they take our card and said they might have a client, that's wonderful for us. Again, it's just early on. And again, part of the reason we love to walk in to the CPA firm with an existing client under our belt and say, hey, Mr. CPA, I'm not just cold walking in. I'm working with your client down the road, and I just wanted to stop in and introduce myself.
Yeah. We've got a kind of one of them level two regional type firms up here, and they are actually with I won't say the name of the company, but they're with a national...
You can.
Okay, go ahead.
BDO?
Yeah, they're with BDO.
BDO Seidman, they're a very common national kind of partnership conglomerate CPA that have many of other smaller regional CPAs underneath that feed them business for some specialized services, including cost segregation.
When we first walked in there, we didn't have one of their clients. We just kind of got their name and cold walked in and managed to get ourselves in front of one of the partners, talked to them. They flat out told us, we cannot refer you business. It's against our partnership. And but then we proceeded to just ask, okay, well, that's fine. You know, we just want to introduce ourselves because we're going to be fishing in your pond, and, you know, we'll probably come across each other, but we understand you can't recommend us, and that's fine. By the way, what kind of training have they done on the changes to the R&D tax credit for you guys? And the answer was none. I said, okay, we'd love to come out and do a lunch and learn, even though you're not allowed to refer us business. You know, if they're not going to educate you, we'd love to educate you. And we went out there and did a lunch and learn. Jeremy spent some years out there. There's probably 12, 15 people in their break room. And we went out there and did a full presentation on the changes to the R&D tax code that year, to the tax credit that year. But the point is that I think at that point, because we all marched over there with our GMG branded polos on and, you know, some nicer materials and did a nice PowerPoint where we had all talked. But I think we made an impression. But I want to share the other side of that story. They didn't call us the next day. They didn't ship us any clients. I checked my email box. I didn't have any depreciation schedules. But I want to tell you where we did get business out of them. And we got in business several times. And that is that they're a major player that we knew we were going to come up against in the field. And the reason we knew that is because as we were out marketing, one of the questions is, who's your CPA firm? We kept hearing their name, and we knew that we needed to be on good terms with them. So at that point, we were on good terms with them, but they're still not going to submit any clients. We understand that. And the first client we ever did with them, Jeremy, I think they were a car stereo place. And it came in from one of our other referral partners, submitted in a car stereo place. We saw the CPA firm. And I want to tell you what that looked like. I called the secretary. Excuse me. The client had signed. I called the secretary of the partner. I did not speak with the partner. I didn't want to speak with the partner. And I just said, I'm calling because we have a mutual client, and I need you to send me his property tax bill and his depreciation schedule. And her reply was, I'm not authorized to do that. And I said, okay, well, I'm here with the client right now. Send the client his depreciation schedule and property tax bill. And she said, I don't know if I'm authorized to do that. Let me get the partner on the phone. I said, wait a minute. You're not authorized to send the client his own depreciation schedule. He's getting ready to get on a plane. I'm standing here. Can you send this right now? And she said, yes, I can. So she sent it to me. And, you know, Jeremy, we did a review for property tax and cost seg, and I don't, what was it, 2-3 days later, we had a check from them?
Yeah,
I mean,
it was very quick. And again, now we're going to a CPA firm that really contractually cannot send cost segregation business to us yet, and they let us know this later on as well, that if a client is bringing a project and if a client is bringing a cost seg firm to the table, they're not going to stop it.
Yeah.
They just can't proactively recommend us. But when we come through the client, it's basically a done deal, and that kind of continues that whole dialogue.
Yeah.
And really fosters the fact that you get to the CPA through the client.
And it also fosters the concept of something I said earlier. You don't need to motivate the CPA to say yes. You
yep.
just need to motivate them
not to say no.
Thank you, Muneer, for such a great question. And thanks, David, for sharing your story at the beginning of the episode. If you have a question or you want to share a story, remember, open the app, click on Contact Us, and click Share Story, Ask a Question. That's it for this week. Remember, new episodes come out in the app every Tuesday. Thanks, and I'll see you next week.